This portion of Grassroots Marketing on Location on Cannabis Radio is presented by Norick Risk. Creating unique insurance solutions for the hemp and cannabis industry is a passion of Norick Risk. Rooted in over 100 years' experience, placing custom, extra-large insurance programs worldwide. Learn more at norickrisk.com. CannabisRadio.com presents Grassroots Marketing on Location, featuring exclusive one-on-one interviews with those impacting and evolving the cannabis industry. Now, let's go on location to the 2016 NCIA Cannabis Business Summit in Oakland, California.
Welcome back, everyone. Radical Russ here at the NCIA Cannabis Summit right here in Oakland, California. We're live with one of my favorite people in the movement. Charlo Green is sitting here with us, making me wish we were on video. Thanks for prettying up the radio for us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, so good to have you here.
It is an honor. I'm a huge fan of Radical Russ. Oh. We watch you everywhere. You're out on the road advocating, fighting for patient rights, fighting for industry rights. So thank you.
Fighting for my right not to be arrested.
And
it just so happens that covers everyone else too. But I'm very selfish. I'll make no bones about it. I don't want to go to jail. Been there. Didn't like it. So Charlo Green, charlogreen.com. Everybody knows you, anchor in Alaska, who famously quit on air. And now you've become quite the cannabis media superstar. Tell folks about your new show, because I just saw some great numbers from it.
Well, my show, Charlo's Place, is a talk show focused on exploring the world of weed. And so we have a number of guests that are living these different experiences. Just come in, have a real conversation, maybe smoke a little weed, maybe have a delicious infused meal, and share our world with anyone interested in finding out what's really happening from us, you know?
Yeah. And some of the guests you've had, tell folks who you've talked to so far.
We have covered a wide range of topics, everything from American Medical Refugees with its founder, Amy Hilterbrand, to sex and weed with the canisexual Ashley Manta.
Yeah.
We've also focused on spotlighting different people that are fighting medical illnesses, like Tisa Bryce and Mercy Bryce, and he's a 13-year-old boy with cerebral palsy and epilepsy who found hope in cannabis after just about everything. Doctors were suggesting cutting out a portion of his brain to see if that could stop his seizures, and that's when his mom, an African-American woman, a church-going woman, decided to just put her foot on the brakes and begin exploring cannabis. And she says that's saved his life, saved their family. And those are the stories that we really, really like sharing. I think this morning we shared a clip from the Cannabis Diversity Summit. And so that in that episode, we reached 582,000 people.
Wow.
This morning. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
We distribute through YouTube and our website, but Facebook is our main channel. So make sure you tune in on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays for daily live streams.
That's fantastic.
New content on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, daily live streams every other day. So there's the plug.
Right on. You mentioned the Minority Cannabis Business Association. Mm-hmm. You mentioned the woman you just spoke to, African-American woman, church-going woman. A lot of different aspects of the legalization message that need to reach minority communities. I was speaking with someone earlier about how the black church was always really against drugs because drugs were destroying the community, and how we're having to re-educate the clergy, re-educate the community.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that and how well that's going.
Well, we recently held a Cannabis Diversity Summit in Denver, Colorado on May 15th. It was standing room only, and we had a huge turnout, and we had representatives from a number of minority-focused organizations like the Minority Cannabis Business Association, Jesse Horton, Dr. Rachel Knox came out to speak on these different tracks, medical marijuana, advocacy, entrepreneurship, and social justice. And we also had Neil Franklin from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition out. So we're planning a number of different outreach events. Tomorrow, the Minority Cannabis Business Association, which I also sit on the board of advisors for, or directors, excuse me, we're holding a regional cannabis diversity rally. And so we're having a number of legislators come in, business leaders come in, and we're really reaching out to people and communities of color and making information as accessible as possible. So everyone is welcome to attend that. It's at the Gateway Incubator, 6 to 9 tomorrow in Oakland.
We'll be there. We're going to get some recording for Cannabis Radio. Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I it'll be wonderful to be there, and I encourage everyone to take a look at this. And one aspect of this is kind of interesting. I wrote a piece in High Times a while back where I started talking about how we could have reparations for the drug war. And one of the things I brought up was, it's dumb that we disqualify people for licenses if they got busted previously. Why don't we give them extra points if they got busted previously? Because that's not directly a racial thing, but it's going to impact minority communities greater, because guess who got busted most of the time?
Yeah.
So no sooner do I write that than a few weeks later, Oakland, right here in California, said we're going to have a licensing scheme that favors people that were in over-policed police districts and guarantees 15% of the licensing for people of color and minorities. Do you see that as a way forward? Is that something you'd like to see expanded?
No, I definitely think that's a start in the right direction. Just making sure that we don't think this is going to take care of itself.
Yeah.
Making these, or putting effort toward addressing this issue, like what they did in Oakland, is the only way that we're going to help the communities that have been impacted most by prohibition.
Yeah.
So the fact that there are advocates on the ground out here, like Supernova Women, that's an advocacy organization that's active in pushing good policy, I think we'll see more of that. So I'm really encouraged at the fact that they're there. And again, there are these other minority-focused organizations like the Cannabis Cultural Association that are out there doing work and trying to replicate what's happening in Oakland and in places like Oregon, which is amazing. It's the place to be as an entrepreneur in cannabis as a person of color. It really is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oregon that gets top marks.
Oregon gets top marks.
Well, I'm awfully proud of that. Especially considering the state was, well, look up the founding of Oregon if you want to see some of the history.
I've heard the history. And it seems like everyone there is doing extra to try and make sure that they're headed in the right direction while we have the opportunity to impact really immense change.
Yeah, kind of like, hey, sorry about that. So, when people think of the legal states, they think Oregon and Colorado right off the top of their head, Washington State. They're looking at California. Make the pitch for Alaska. You're from Alaska. You've been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening in Alaska, and what's there to look forward to industry-wise there?
Industry-wise, people can look forward to experiencing cannabis clubs, actually regulated cannabis clubs.
Yeah.
That's the unique thing that we have going for ourselves up in Alaska. We are just now beginning to issue licenses to cultivation sites. So we expect dispensaries this fall.
Okay.
We have our fingers crossed. The Alaska Cannabis Club is still up and running, thriving. It's a private patient association. So head to akcannabisclub.com for more information on that. But we're looking forward to this new era. And when you come up and enjoy that midnight sun, I don't know how late the sun was out while you were out there.
11:30.
Okay, close. Got close to the midnight sun. But we've got great bud up there, great people. And it'll be a really nice experience.
I tell you, it's a little disconcerting when you go into a bar and you're hanging out and partying and having a good time and get a little toasty, and you walk outside and it's still sunny.
Yeah.
Makes you feel like, oh, wait, I should be drinking more. I must not be done.
Yeah, too many people in Alaska have bought into that.
I bet they have. Charlo Green, you're amazing. CharloGreen.com is the website. Find out all the information. Check her out Monday, Wednesday, Friday with new episodes on Charlo Green's show. Is that what it is? The Charlo's
Place.
Well,
it's Charlo's Place. Yeah, you swing by Charlo's Place. It's always shot in a private residence, so everyone can feel comfortable enough just sitting back, smoking up, and just sharing truth.
Right on. Any other plugs, contact, and give that 6 to 9 tomorrow thing again, too.
Okay. The Minority Cannabis Business Association networking rally is being held on Wednesday from 6 to 9 at the Gateway Incubator. Head to minoritycannabis.org for more information on that. And you can check me out on Instagram at Charlo Green, on Twitter. I am Charlo Green, and Facebook. Just search Charlo Green. I'm her.
You'll find her. All right. I'm Radical Russ here from the Cannabis Business Summit here in Oakland. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more coverage right after this.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Grassroots Marketing on Location only on CannabisRadio.com.